The Word of God to guide our thoughts as we sing is found in the 11th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th and 26th verses. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for so it pleased you well." When we think of Thanksgiving Day, our thoughts often turn to the pilgrims, to a bountiful harvest, to sitting with family around a table, heavily laden with food. And we thank God not only for the food, but also for all those gifts which permit us to eat the food in peace. Health, education, honor, faithful friends, good neighbors, the like. All those things which allow us to enjoy our daily bread. And so far, the thoughts and thanks of America are with us. Although the thanks of many these days will not be directed to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, but to other gods, or to some vague man upstairs. And the thanks of many will go up like so much buckshot, scattering in the sky, hitting nothing. Not so our Lord Jesus' thanksgiving in Matthew 11. He knew whom he was acknowledging, and he knew why. Jesus prayed, "I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth." In the hymn, "Beautiful Savior," we sing, "Son of God and Son of Man." Well, here he spoke to his Father as the Son of God, and as one of us, he spoke to his God and Lord. And he went on to say, "No one knows the Son but the Father, and no one knows the Father but the Son, and he to whom he may choose to reveal him." If we thought that our thanksgivings in America all reach God, each just going by a different route, then this word would stop us short. Only in connection with Jesus Christ do we learn to know the Father. Just as you would have to go through certain channels in order to have a meeting with the president in Washington, so also there's a channel to approach God. Only through Christ, we are told, can our prayers and praises come before his throne. Do you remember Saul's conversion in Acts chapter 9? Before he went to Damascus, Saul was a very religious man. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, observed all the worships and all the rules. But after he had met the risen Lord outside of Damascus, then God said to Ananias, "Behold, he is praying." So also we want to direct our prayers and thanksgiving to God in Jesus' name. But what is really remarkable in Jesus' prayer is the why of his thanksgiving. Because Jesus was not experiencing a bountiful harvest. He was suffering rejection. He had to rebuke the leaders of his day who wanted to master God. They were wise and understanding, but Jesus said they were like children in the marketplace, telling all the other children what games to play. And when God sent John the Baptizer and then Jesus, in both cases they cried out, "It just wasn't right." And when Jesus had to rebuke the cities, Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum, he had to say, "Woe to you. If the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, they would have reacted better than you." On every hand, Jesus was being rejected because people wanted God on their own terms. And then Jesus answering said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. How can he do that? How can he thank God when things really are not going well for him right then? Well, for one thing, he is thanking God not because things are going so well for himself, but for others, for you and me, that they are revealed to little children. Can we do that? Thank God for blessing others, even at our own expense? Kind of goes against the grain, doesn't it? Miracle required here. Perhaps it would be easier to join Jesus in thanking God that he has not made our eternal peace and rest in him dependent on the wisdom of mankind. Who could ever know if they were wise enough? And babies who did not live to become wise would be left out. Our wisdom, by itself being corrupted in the fall, would always find fault with God and his ways, and would reject John as a fanatic and Jesus as a namby-pamby inhibitor of freedom. But our knowledge of the God who loves us and saved us does not depend on any man being wise enough to see it. Our peace with God depends entirely on Christ and his doing and his dying and his rising, on Christ alone. Miracle provided here. And the Christ has revealed himself in his word, the word in baptism, the word in the Lord's Supper, the word in the pulpit, at the lectern, in your Bibles, in your rooms. When children are brought to Christ in baptism, when we as children are confronted with Christ in word and sacrament, we are face to face with him who has given mankind all things: peace, joy, life, love, rest. Thanks be to God. Amen. Ready? Oh.